This week's episode was full of senses and scents, and it wasn't just all about lavender. Tonight, we check in on the status of the queen, we'll find out what's going on with Magra, and we're willing to take the lavender road as long as it'll take us. Plus, Ben's got the biggest betrayal in history, and Jason Momoa gets honored in news and gossip. This is the See After Show. Let's go.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Here we are.
Yo!
I can't always believe that. It's a week?
It's a week, man.
Damn.
It's Monday.
Yeah.
Monday sets the tone.
Oh, that was Thanksgiving.
It was good.
Yeah?
It was good. How about you?
Yeah, a lot of turkey, man. A lot of turkey.
Turkey, that's always good to have.
Back on the diet now. Oh, my God.
Right, right. Well, we got through the holiday. We got through episode 7. Can you believe it's only one more to go?
I can't believe that, by the way. I feel like, how do they end that show?
Especially coming from this episode. I'm not too
even a
sure.
Bigger question mark, right?
Right. Well, let's get into it. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome to Monday. My name is Keith Andre. I'm here with Ben Schnell.
Hello.
Each and every week to talk about C show.
Right.
Scale of 1 to 10, give me a quick grade on episode 7.
Whew, honestly, 6.5, 7, max.
Max. Okay.
I mean, you know, it was still a great episode, don't get me wrong. But for me personally, I don't know how you felt at home, but a little bit too much of talking.
A little too much talking.
I mean, you have to have some dialogue.
For sure.
But I was expecting a little bit more action,
exactly.
Especially now coming to the end of the show.
Knowing that the lifespan is ending, I was expecting the same thing. But it's okay, because we're going to talk about it. So we'll start with the queen. Where is my queen? Then we'll talk about Magra a little bit because we did get some of her story. And then we'll wrap up just talking about this epic kind of trail on the Lavender Road and just see what comes out of that.
That's right.
All right. So Queen Kane is still...
Oh, my God. I mean, honestly, I'm now at a position where I feel really sorry for her.
Yeah.
I mean, I always told you she's one of my favorite characters because her character is very intense, so you don't really know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And now I feel very sorry. So every time when she's ringing the bell, even like without any purpose, maybe just by accident, she gets hit. And I was like,
It was crazy to see the violence of it and that she's still sticking to her guns, which I can respect, you know.
I do respect that.
Always
I mean,
gonna respect that.
She is so much in her kind of queen vibe thing, you know. She's not giving that up, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the reason why I can respect it because even though she is extremely stubborn, I think a part of her strength comes from, like, her stubborn nature and just...
Yeah.
Her willingness to, like, not listen to what anybody has to say.
For sure.
So I just take it for what it is. I thought it was interesting because even when, so she's tied up with the bell or whatever, and when the guy started to talk about your favorite, Jella Morrell.
Right, Jella Morrell.
She immediately, like, rung that bell. It's like, Dad, you would really, like, get beat.
Yeah.
To have to...
That was a...
You know?
I mean, that was a very special moment to me because the first question I had was basically, why did this guy know about this kind of romance lover? He said lover or something, right? Or kind of relationship thing. How did he know? How does he know about that? That was my first question.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is like, when she was ringing the bell on purpose, I was like, she was thinking to herself, you know what? I'd rather take the pain out than telling you what I know about that.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, I was like...
That's why I'm like, whoa. Okay, so at this point, I'm like, all right. Can we please see Jella Morrell? Can we get to the bottom of it? Like you said, it was a lot of dialogue and a lot of talking, but not about all the things that we wanted to know. But it just was something just to take note of for me because I know we talk more about Jella Morrell in context with Magra and them having like a real relationship, but with the queen, I've always just seen it as like something that we don't know. But this episode, I was able to see like, oh no, she has some kind of like real tie and connection to him if this is the type of reaction she has just from hearing his name.
Yeah, Jerome Morrell.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. Guys, did you hear it? It took me 7 episodes. I did it. Wow.
Jerome Morrell.
Anyway, but what I found so fascinating about this character is that the whole show was basically just talking about him except one time. So we just saw this guy maybe for a minute.
Correct.
But we still... have a feeling we kind of know him, but we don't.
There's so much we don't. And the anticipation...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Just keeps building and building and building.
Yeah, and now I'm thinking, being in the seventh episode, that they did all that on purpose, obviously. Mm-hmm. The story writers. They just wanted to get us on that track. So who is this guy?
And I'm okay with that, but they got to knock me in the face next week.
I mean, episode 8, the last one. I mean, I don't know. I expected it a little earlier, to be honest. I think we talked about that. That's what you mentioned, right? A little bit earlier would have been nice, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe right now.
I mean, at least by going into 7, maybe midway through the episode, so that we can get our fair share of closure with episode 8 for the first season. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that. But in this episode, and even dealing with the queen, I actually started to have a soft spot for Tamaki June. And just his experience as like a warrior and his position, although he has like killed all these people for all these many years.
Right.
I felt that I was able to understand him better. And then when he went to save her, I thought it was nice to see him at work. The way we see Baba Voss and his skill set and his natural nature to like kill and hunt, it was good to see the warrior of Tamaki June just kind of be exposed here.
I feel like Tamaki June, for me, he seems like a very loyal person.
Absolutely.
Right? And I felt like, and we know already, obviously, mm-hmm. he was very loyal to the queen every time.
Yeah.
But I think now we just realized even more to his people. Mm-hmm. I think for him, it's even more about the people. And we have that scene further down in the episode 7 where the queen is laying down on the ground and Magra is in the picture. And also he's in the picture. And I think that was the first time when I really realized, and we kind of knew that she's a little crazy, the queen, right?
Kind of.
But I think that was the first time when I realized, I think she completely lost her mind.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
In the status of being the queen. I think she completely lost it.
There's a huge disconnect.
So I think she doesn't understand what it really means to be the queen. I think for her, this title is basically what she believes. That's all about it. It's the title. And it's not about like serving your own community, your own people.
Absolutely. Even Magra has said it in the episode just about it being her birthright and her father not taking that away. So there were some interesting elements there. I do want to ask, because even with when we saw Queen Kane get saved, and when they were going to kill the guy who was captive, and he was like, "Do you think I would tell her who I was and not have a plan?" And so I'm thinking, wait a minute, was this whole thing her idea, like to even have this ransom situation? Like, how much of this do you think was her plan?
You mean the queen's plan?
Correct.
The whole kind of scenario that she's in right now?
I'm wondering,
I mean, for me, what was very fascinating, I think everyone, maybe you guys heard it too, what she just said in a very short second was something like, hey, you know what? I wanted to be the queen, not just for having the machines running. I just wanted to be the queen because I am. Mm-hmm. And that was deep. I was like, oh my God, that showed me really who she kind of is. For her, it was just about basically the queen.
Correct.
Being the title holder of the queen. I think for her, that was the whole plan. I think she just wants to show everybody still now that she's almost like being on the ground and bleeding. Hey, we don't have the castle anymore. Everyone is dead. I killed everybody. But hey, guys, I'm still the queen and you have to respect me for that.
At the end of the day.
And I was like, whoa. Right? That's too much.
It was crazy. I'll touch again. We'll come back to the queen because we do have to look at her relationship with Magra.
That's for sure.
But before that, let's talk a little bit about Magra and, you know, where she's fitting now in the puzzle of everything that's going on. I did feel, I'm interested in her history with Tamaki June because I do feel that she trusts him, because she trusted him enough to tell him that Boots could see.
That's right.
So I thought that was crazy. And I was like, oh, I don't know if she should be telling him this or if she shouldn't. Like, how is it going to impact the rest of the world?
Yeah.
But I just was like, oh, wow, she trusts him a great deal to the point to not only does she trust her family's situation and trying to get them back, but she really trusts him enough to expose herself. And I think we see that, too, where they all kind of, it's her, Queen Kane and yeah. him having like that little right. moment.
I think Tamanthi June for me is a very interesting character, and I think we saw it in the first, no, I think in the second episode when he came back to the castle and is basically has to tell the queen, hey, I didn't find anyone. Now being in episode 7 when he's leaning down to her and is basically asking her like if she's okay and blah blah blah, he's not saying majesty. He says that at the beginning, but then out of a sudden she says, oh, finally I found you. And the way how he said it, I was like, there was something going on between, maybe not from her side, but I think he felt more for the queen than just being the queen to him.
Yes.
I think he was kind of in love with her even. Mm. That's my understanding. And I think Margra for him is this kind of little sister that he wants to protect.
Yeah.
It's his kind of job to protect the little sister of the one that he loves so much too.
That's fair.
That's how I see it.
That's fair. I'll take that. I am taking a look at the chat. We've got some people in here. Amy Wee, of course, Ivan is here. So hello. Shout out to you guys. And Amy, I think, was just saying that she thinks that Tamanthi is going to be more loyal to Magra than he will be to the queen.
Now for sure.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Amy's totally right. Because now I feel when he stood up, he realized for the very first time, I think, that she lost her mind. She's out of her mind. And he also says, I think we have to reconsider.
Oh, yes. He definitely says that. I think that for him, it's all about, like, loyalty, but to the country, to the position.
For sure.
And so I really feel that he is fighting for what he believes to be the greater good. And now he can see plain as day that it's not going to come from the queen.
I know, but you know what? This scene was so beautifully shot, even from a filming perspective, because Tamanthi June is in the background when he says that line. And in the front, we have Magra, and he's talking about reconsidering, and we see her face.
Just off, like,
the
listening.
New queen kind of Magra now coming into frame.
Oh, I like that.
And I was like, that was a great shot.
I like that. I like that a lot. Well, from Magra, we also learned a few tidbits. So we learned here that she is a healer because he calls her over. That's how she reunites with her with her sister. And then we learn too, just more of their background, that Queen Kane is just like her mother, and we know that that kind of causes some sort of rift or tension between the two.
That's right.
Because she said that it's just this constant reminder of her mother. So I'm like, okay, do you think, and you guys in the chat can let us know as well, do you think that their relationship can be repaired? Is there any hope for these sisters to like be friends?
I mean, I don't want to sound negative, but I don't think so.
Not at all.
I don't really think so. I think Magra would try. I mean, did we have that scene when she's holding her hand at the very beginning?
No, I thought that was beautiful.
That was beautifully acted, by the way, beautifully shot. Mm-hmm, but the first moment, we see her expression, and she was very emotional, Magra, towards her sister.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, she's about to even forgive her. Now realizing that she's down like that. But then at some point, she realizes something, and then out of a sudden, her expression changes, and she turns away. And I was like, wow, I think she just realized and accepted something for herself that she's not able to forgive her completely.
Yeah, and I think that she also knows at this point that when it comes to Queen Kane, even as a queen or as her sister, that the way that she protects herself, I think, is finding that level of just resistance to who she is.
That's right. I think
in those moments where we did see so much emotion and so much of her just biting and fighting back to just release it and to fall into like the love that you have for your sibling, she knows, nope, because of who she is and whatever issue she has going on, this is just the way the cookie's going to crumble.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I'm going to try to formulate a good prediction for later just in terms of where we go here. But there was so much more that we learned just going down this whole path of the Lavender Road. Ooh. So before we get there with Paris and all of them, I did want to just mention, what did you think about the way that we learned, or the way that the queen did share how she destroyed the Kanzawa, their home and their palace and all the people? I thought for Tamanthi June, it was like a really good chance to see him flex a little bit, just as an actor in the way that he responded to her. Like, you think all these men are just going to be okay with knowing that their families have been destroyed? And even then, she's still crazy because she's like...
Yeah, she doesn't even see it anymore. Like, funny. Seeing. Sorry, but that was a good joke. But no, but you're totally right. I think that was the first time coming back from being, or like him being the warrior, like fighting and being the witch hunter for all those years. I think now he just became this normal guy being part of the community, you know, fighting with his men for decades.
Yeah.
And the men, what they have in mind, obviously, they just want to like work for the queen and basically want to like go after what she's telling them. But they also want to come back home to the family.
Period. So, at the end of the day.
What do you do? I mean, it's always like that. When you basically go out as a soldier, right, and mm-hmm. you just basically serve for someone, like the king, the queen, whatever it is,
right.
At the end of the day, what keeps you moving is also thinking about the day when you come back home.
Exactly.
And you just can grab your kids or your wife and be, or your husband and be happy again.
And, you know, she's taking that away, and I think that she has to be held responsible for it.
I mean, who would move on if you know that your family is just gone?
No one for
anybody.
It's crazy. So. It's crazy. We'll definitely see. But so for Magra, we know that her family is gone. So she's left.
That's right.
Going with Tamakti because she may end up being the queen, and Boots is left behind. How are you feeling about Boots at this point?
I mean, I don't like him.
I'm still on the fence. Do you think that we will see redemption for him?
I feel like this guy, when I look into his eyes and the way how he looks at Magra every time, mm-hmm. you know, Tamakti June is talking to him, basically he said something like, hey, I just wanted you to see and not to have your own opinion about something, right? So just keep it to that. And then he looks to Magra for a second, just like that, you know, like that.
Right.
And I was like,
right,
what is going on with this guy? I think he has a plan.
Yeah.
We all don't know about it yet.
Correct.
But I think an episode prediction, sorry, but episode 8, something crazy is happening with this guy too.
A lot of crazy has to happen in episode 8. But one of the good things, or one of the things I did appreciate, even with that scene with Tamakti June expressing, like, I just needed your sight. I'm not here for your opinion. And even later in the episode, they do a good job of reminding us to kind of be balanced, and just because you can see doesn't mean that you have all the answers, doesn't mean that you can't be wrong. He said that as well. So I really like that element of just seeing doesn't give you a greater ability or a greater strength than somebody else. And we constantly see that displayed in the show as well.
Totally. I mean, think about the irony here, to be honest, for a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that interesting? Tamakti June was fighting for decades with all his men to find people like Boots. And now out of a sudden, he basically uses Boots to find the queen, who was always just about to find someone like Boots. Now it's basically the other way around. They're using Boots to find the queen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's such a change in dynamics right now, if you think about it. Tamakti June just becomes someone like, hey, you know what? I just do whatever it takes, even if I have to include my own enemy into my team to find the queen.
Right.
So that was very interesting for me.
Well, we'll see. Right. We'll definitely see. All right, so meanwhile, back at the ranch, we see this Lavender Road. And like you said, a lot with this episode, things were just beautifully shot. We got to see a lot of great visuals and imagery. But checking in on the tribe, because they are a tribe. So Baba Voss, we know, is not well, from whatever injuries. At first, I was like, oh my God, what's wrong with him?
And he's putting blood out of his
Yeah. So this is why I said things got like really sensory, because even that whole path, I think for him, he was having some kind of reaction to it. And then with Paris, just a lot of the chanting that she was doing, and when they got up to that point, she was like, it's no longer the taste of the lavender, like I taste death, and everybody was having like a physical reaction. And so I thought that was another good glimpse of just knowing that we're in a different world, and because they can't see, all of their other senses are going to be like super heightened to the point to where they're having this type of reaction to the journey. What did you think about this Lavender Road and this whole trip that I feel that it was more about us getting to the point, of course, to where they have to separate, right? Haniwa and Kofun are going to have to go on their own. But what did you think about that experience?
You know, the thing is, for me, and that's the part where I was a little like disappointed. Not really disappointed, but that's why I felt like it got a little slow in episode 7, right? Don't get me wrong, still a good episode, especially the scenes with the queen and Magra and Tamakti G and everyone. That was great. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the scenes where we see them on the road, like walking along, that was just kind of a placeholder. That was just something to fill the time in a little bit. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Because it was a little bit too long without really saying much.
Yeah.
So that's why it was a little bit like, I'm not sure about that. But still, I think what we realize is that they're all kind of coming to a point where they also see this kind of big skeleton statue or what it is, right? And I was like, wow, that was beautifully also like designed in a way.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, how you did that? That was the first time when I got back on track with the walking part, you know?
okay. Like, what's happening here? No, I definitely agree with that. And it shows just in so many ways, everybody's chasing this ghost that is Gerald Morrell.
That's right.
And who, even in his own way, think about the lengths that he's going to create this new world to where you have all this these dead bodies, and we come to this forge and this path where I don't know what it was exactly, but where the people were shooting the bow and arrows.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. They had the sound.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he called them, but the sound traps.
Yeah.
So another good use of just elements to take us in a world beyond sight. We saw a lot of sign language, which Ivan had mentioned in the chat as well.
That's true.
So when we get to this point, it's like we're trying to have this big buildup, right?
Yeah.
Because there has to be this tension between characters. We knew Haniwa feels differently from Kofun, and then Haniwa and Baba Voss are like trying to figure out their situation to where they have to go on. But I thought it was really, really interesting at the mention of Haniwa's name. It's like, oh, no, they need to pass through here. And it's like, he's created this whole system to where only Kofun and Haniwa can cross to get into this enlightened place. We still haven't gotten there yet. I'm excited about it, but I also, I don't know what to expect, but I don't want to be like let down by it.
I mean, the thing is, enlightening place, right? That's how he called it.
Yes.
So right now, seeing the situation, episode 7, I just get the feeling right now, even just seeing
Gerald Morrell.
Oh, my goodness. Damn. People, forgive me for that. But sorry, I lose it. No, but this guy, as we say, like a ghost kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I believe now that it's the complete opposite, if you ask me.
Mm.
You know, seeing all these skeletons and this kind of very, like, a negative vibe almost that I get right now. And then still talking about an enlightening room or something. I feel like, and then Paris is also saying that on the way, like, he's not a god. And you are also no goddess.
You're not.
Just because you can see doesn't mean that you are like God.
Absolutely.
And that's so true that she said that, right? But I believe that Gerald Morrell, almost 50%.
You got it.
That he believes himself that he is God.
You think so?
I believe that. Huh. I believe now that he thinks he is God because he's one of the few people who can see.
Yeah.
But I now believe, seeing all the way with the skeletons and stuff like that, that he wants to basically turn it around and just use his power more in a negative way.
Okay. Well, I'm not too sure about that. I don't necessarily think that Gerald Morrell believes himself to be a God. I think that he does have, for whatever he has come up with this plan, and he knows what he wants for his children and for people who can see. But I loved that when Paris was parting with the two of them, that she did say that. Like, she said, build a new world with no gods. He's your father, but he's not a god. Y'all ain't gods. Like, they need to have that reality check, especially, like, going off on your own. And even Baba Voss spoke to the fact that, you know, there comes a point in life where you have to let your children go.
That's
and they gotta go and chase and just make their own decisions. And you just hope that you've raised them in a way to where they are capable of like living in the world successfully.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I still believe it though.
Okay.
I still believe he thinks he's God.
Well, we'll see.
That's the irony about it. But hey, guys, what do you think?
Yes. Do you think Gerald Morrell thinks that he is a God, or is he just doing what's best for the people that can see? Ivan's with you. He said he definitely has a God complex. Jalen Murrell has a God complex.
Thank you so much.
We'll see. Now, what did you think? Because I was happy to see Bo Lyon, even though she doesn't say much, she's still rocking with them. And I feel like her expressions or her reactions, we still get to see a lot of character out of her. And I like that we got to see that element of the shadows when she's like, oh, I can move, you know, in silence. Yeah. You can't do that. Now, she didn't do it as successfully as she thought she could.
I was like, oh, man.
Because she had to take a bow from a blind person. But I liked just that these small reminders of who each person is and what they have to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And then I also was happy to see that Baba Voss was like, no, we're going to stick close. This isn't the end of the road here. I was like, oh, sweet. Great.
Love that. I love that. Did you see that coming though? Did you expect that he's going to follow them at some point?
I don't think I did.
Interesting.
Maybe so, because even he made mention, you know, when they wanted to go through and there's like, there's no danger. He's like, no, we'll go around. So he'll go. I did note, I don't know if you noticed or you guys noticed at home as well. This is, I think, the first time that we see lights. You know, when they go into the darkness and the lights turn on, this is the first time we see like kind of electricity or the use of like lights and light in that way. So I'm just really curious as to what is going to be in this House of Enlightenment. Do you think it's going to be a whole new world? Do you think there'll be other people there? We know that Jalen Murrell doesn't have any problem having children and producing people who can see. And I'm just starting to wonder if he's built this whole world of people who can actually have the gift of sight.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, coming back to that, I don't want to be negative, obviously, but from a story writing perspective, you know, like filmmaker myself, I'm always thinking, okay, why do they say enlightening room? There has to be a meaning to it, right?
Correct.
You just don't say it. And now seeing where they go and this kind of dark place where they're going to, like going through right now, and then still thinking about the enlightening room and stuff like that, I just believe it's not what you think it is.
Yeah, there's
just
no way.
Just being, because if you think about an enlightening room, you think about, oh my God, it's got to be like paradise. It's going to be all beautiful.
Right.
That's why I believe it's the complete opposite of what you expect. Guys,
okay.
Sorry.
All right, well, that's fine. I'll figure out what I believe. I've still got some time before we get into predictions, but I think it's a good time. Wait, did we see any betrayal this episode? Did anybody betray anybody? Well, that lady, Cora, she ended up stabbing the guy.
And that's something I wanted to point out for a second. Thank you so much for reminding me of that. I appreciate that, because I wanted to ask you, do you think, and also to audience at home, do you guys believe that she did that because now she knew, if I do that right now, I'm going to stay alive and I can just pretend to be on her side? Or do you think that she just did it because she always believed in the queen and more than she believed in him?
Good question. For me, I think that this was an elaborate plan of the queen. And so I think that when she took the message back to him, she already knew. It was already worked out that sooner or later, you're going to have to stab this man and we're, you know, like getting out of here. So I think that Queen Cain knew at being held for ransom to Mokhti June and then was going to come. And as soon as they eliminated the guards, they were in a position to go ahead and try to take him down.
Interesting.
So I think that she has been on the queen's side the whole time and she was just double crossing the guy that she had been working with before.
I like that. Right? Wow. You think about two corners right now.
Right. Damn. That's what I think. So
I can't go that far. I mean, he's like, he's going all the way, people. I mean,
well, each and every week they give us a betrayal.
That's right.
And each and every week, Ben, you give us a betrayal. So let's talk about the biggest betrayal in history in this week's special segment.
Oh my God, people, I'm getting nervous. And you know what? The biggest betrayals in history. But as we all know already, the last couple of episodes, I was really focusing on the U.S., right?
Yes.
And today, I do the same thing.
Of course.
And I have a beautiful picture of a couple. Let's look at them for a second, right?
Okay.
I mean, they look kind of beautiful, right? And they call them partners in crime back in the day. This is Julius
to me.
And Ethel Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at them, they look very nice, right? Like a normal couple, like living in a neighborhood, right?
Sure.
Nothing really too crazy.
Sure.
But these two guys were basically a real couple in life, husband and wife, and they're also spied for surprise, Soviet Union again.
Of course.
In the 40s, against the Americans, and what you can think of. I mean, nuclear weapons, any kind of weapons that they really had the designs for, they just sent it over to the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part about it is that the whole family was included. It was kind of a family business. Even the sons, they had two sons. Every time when they were asked, okay, what do your parents do? Oh, they run a family business from home. They're kind of, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And they did that for decades. So what also happened is he had also like a sister-in-law from his brother, right? They lived in New Mexico. So they sent even him over to New Mexico and got David and also Estelle Greenglass part of the whole community of the whole thing.
Oh my God.
And at the end of the day, in 1951, it all came out. Mm-hmm, she went to prison, but he didn't really get that much because she was the person who was always hiding the money.
She
was always kind of the middle person between the Americans and the Soviet Union. And he was just the guy who was kind of more in the background.
Okay.
And I was like, man, what did you do to your wife? So she did the hard part and you just enjoyed the money at some point, right? I
was like, or maybe she just was the master plan.
I mean, don't know. I'm not sure. I think she maybe didn't know about the master plan then or something.
But she ended up doing the most time, you said?
She did. She did. So she basically did. I mean, you know, it's just interesting to me. I just wanted to point that out because this is a very good example that spies are not just like people in a suit or a military uniform or whatever, people that you expect doing that.
Oh, come on.
It can be just your neighbor at home.
Have you seen the Americans? I mean, that's...
I know. So if you go home today and you watch your neighbors...
You never know.
You never know. You might want to ask them something.
Oh, gosh. You know? Let's hope not. Let's hope there's no betrayal, but good.
But I got one more next week, guys.
Okay, one more to go. So we know biggest betrayal of in history.
Yeah.
Special segment. I love that. It's always nice to see that element, particularly because we see so much betrayal in the show every single week. Ivan did remind me that even in this episode, Queen Cain betrayed Tamakdi June.
Yeah, she indirectly did already in the past.
So I will take that.
That's a very good one. Thanks for mentioning that because she did that already without him even knowing about
it. Exactly. This is where he got to see she has betrayed him. So that was good. And speaking of Tamakdi June, that'll take us right into news and gossip.
Ooh, now I'm excited.
Yeah, because like I said, watching this episode, I really started to like Tamakdi June. So I went ahead and took some time to stalk his Instagram. Tamakdi June is actually played by Christian Carmargo. So he just had a baby not too long ago, I think November the 16th.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, wow, that's so nice. You know, it was pretty recent news. So congratulations to him. I'm interested to learn more about him as an actor because even when I saw his Instagram, I didn't know, like, that was him.
He does. He looks completely different.
I'm like, whoa.
Right? Yeah.
They did a really, really good job with that.
Where is he from originally, by
the way? I don't know.
He doesn't seem
American.
But
I know he's not here. No, I know he's not American because even his child was born, like, overseas.
Yeah, he seemed like someone, he looks a little bit like someone from Israel or something. You know what I mean? Like, Israeli or something?
Yeah.
Just my feeling?
Could be. You're more worldly than I am.
Am I really?
Yes, I haven't been out of the country, so.
I mean, it's been a while for me, too. Don't get me wrong, but.
But, the baby was born November the 16th, so congratulations to him.
Wow.
And she was born in Enstelveen? I don't know.
That sounds Dutch.
We've got homework to do.
I mean, Dutch also have dark hair. He might be Dutch.
Look
I mean,
at you. Know?
Yeah, look at me.
You know,
like, I'm German, but I'm kind of dark. That's kind of true, yeah.
Okay, good deal. Well, that's what I found on him. And then, of course, we have to talk about Jason Momoa. He's the king of the show. And he was actually honored. GQ Australia named him their 2019 Man of the Year.
Wow.
How about that? He looks amazing on the cover. Check him out. And it's actually the December-January issue, and that cover hit newsstands today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, yeah, he's a great guy. I really like him. You know?
He's amazing.
And I always have to point that out because I really pay attention when I see him acting because I feel like he's not just, and I think I mentioned that before, he's not just this big dude action guy. I think he can really do emotional scenes very well.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that he still is at the beginning of his career and that there's still so much for him to do. And I like the things about this, even him being honored by GQ Australia. He had posted on his Instagram Instagram just about the work that he does and trying to save the world with plastic and like his work for Hawaii and the things that he's trying to do there. So that's nice to see. And even images of like him with his children. He's like into rock music. He was at a concert
in
Inglewood the other day. So shout out to Jason.
Oh, in Inglewood? Really? Yeah,
exactly.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yep. So
shout out to you, man.
Gotta love it. I'm going to keep my ear to the street this week, though. I mean, with next week being the last episode, I'm sure that we should get some kind of news and gossip. Maybe there's tidbits or things going on that we can uncover just in trying to figure out what's going to happen next season. But we'll see.
There is a next season.
Oh, for sure.
I think they kind of... Did they confirm it already?
Oh, yeah. They've already confirmed it. Yeah. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Season 2 is definitely coming. So we'll stay tuned and see that. But before we get to season 2 and before we get to next week, we definitely got to talk about our predictions.
Oh, my God. Where do I start?
I don't know. Because, you know, honestly, Ben, we've been doing such a good job with predictions.
Yeah.
But I always feel like when it comes to the last episode or a season finale, it changes the game, and I don't really know what to expect, so I'm gonna let you kick off your predictions first.
I mean, okay, I think I have a prediction that makes kind of sense from a storytelling perspective,
okay.
And I just wanted to put it out there. I believe what's going to happen also for the second season and also episode 8, we're going to see the beginning of it. I believe that Magra, at the end of episode 8, right before we end the first season, is going to become the queen officially in a way.
Yes.
I totally believe that, but the reason why is... I believe that her two kids now meeting their own dad, mm-hmm. who I believe is more on the negative, bad, dark side, let's say, like Dark Vader, a.k.a.
Yes.
I believe this is all on purpose. Then for the second season, that Magra is almost fighting her own kids.
I love that.
You know, because I feel like the kids love her mom, but I think her dad or their dad, he will tell them information, I believe, that they don't know about yet. And they kind of change their mind. It's a little bit like Star Wars almost. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I think that makes sense from a storytelling perspective to start off like that in the second season. So she's becoming the queen. And then second season is all against each other that you actually love.
I'll take that. I think that does make a lot of sense. I agree in that. So I predict we will see her become queen. I think that has to happen. And we eliminate Queen Kane altogether.
Sorry.
And I do think with Haniwa and Kofun going into this world with Jella Morell, that in some ways they'll become rulers of whatever world that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, there can only be one. So we'll see. I guess I'm going to go with your prediction. We'll see. Well, I'm going to change it a little bit. Because I do think it's going to be a major fight, but I think maybe we'll see Kofun and Haniwa want to resist Drilla Morell's world, and maybe we'll get to see Magra and even Baba Voss fighting to get them back and to save them.
I can see that, because Baba Voss, at the end of the day, I think he will always stick to his children. Even if he knows that they are not his, like, biological children, I think he will always do that. And then also having Boots getting back into the picture.
True.
I believe that he's staying, like, at her side, like the Magra's side.
Oh,
I think he knows already what she's going to become at some point. I think he's smart enough to stay with her right now.
Absolutely.
And then at some point, obviously, I think he also is trying to probably take over the queen, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think Boots is all for himself. We all know he's a sociopath, and he's making those power moves. So I agree there. I think I'm expecting to see a lot of action. I think it needs to be jam-packed with action.
That's
I
want
to see fighting. We want to see Baba Voss, like, all of those things. I want to see so many moving pieces. Do you think that anybody will die?
Like episode 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, come on. Someone has to die.
Anybody that we have come to know, like any of our lead characters, do you think any of them are
dead? No, I mean, honestly, I'm a little bit surprised that Paris is still alive.
No, Paris, I think, is an arc. She's gonna...
Really, yeah? Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. I mean... Okay, let me put it that way. If you want to have someone die, episode 8...
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I mean, it sounds bad to say, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
If somebody has to die, you're saying...
No one has to die in general, but in the show, I see that because Magra is becoming the queen, Queen Kane has to go.
Okay, perfect. Agreed.
Oh, let me put it that way. I even go one next level.
What?
Wow, now I got it, people. That's a crazy thing.
Take
right here.
Stand.
They just make us believe in episode 8 that Queen Cain is dying. But
of
then
she's not gone.
Out of blue, episode 1, season 2, we see that one hand coming out of the ashes. And we know it's her hand.
Out of the ashes. I'll take it. I mean, I definitely think Queen Cain, like I said, she has to be held responsible, just responsible for what she has done to her country, to like her community. But we'll see. I think she is such a strong character that I don't necessarily want to see her go.
No.
Just yet, maybe we've come to love her in so many ways just because of the role that she has. And it's that such an interesting dynamic. And I think, too, you know, in so many ways, Queen Cain still gives us a lot of access into Magra and her past and their family and that world. So,
I mean,
up in the air a little bit about that.
Totally. I mean, Queen Cain as a character is great. But what I also really enjoy is just watching the actress portraying this character.
Absolutely.
I think, honestly, she might be like a bad character in the show, but this is one of the most fascinating characters I've ever seen
play
in my
that
life.
Role. Agree.
This is, I mean, what she does is just mind-blowing.
I agree with you.
I mean, wow. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if she would really win an award, like a couple awards for it. I definitely mean that.
Well, we'll see. I'm definitely going to stay tuned, you know, hate it or love it, good or bad, and whether episode 8 is the end of the road for Queen Cain or not, we're going to stay tuned. We'll be able to find that out next week. I'm excited. It's the season finale. Until that time, my name again is Keith Andre. You guys can follow me all over social media. Keep the conversation going at Keith_Andre.
That's right. Yeah, and you can also find me on Instagram and Facebook. It's at Benjamin Schnau, like the dog. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I'm also doing the show tomorrow, which is The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
That's really cool. And also, We Are The Wave, a Netflix show in German and English for you guys.
Love it. See you next time.
See you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.